from PRX.
In ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who's, when it's time for his mouth to be open, you know, you say, what is he talking? He's talking. What is he talking about? I don't, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast to put you to sleep. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about, like, just supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life in it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answer is yes to the both of those, like, how much is that? Is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of, really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for, they're all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. No, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. Tonight's episode is made possible with the hard work of Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who did theme music. Carl W. did the editing. Jonathan Mann on our lullabies. Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter, and the listeners have a Facebook group, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. I want to thank Julie and Jennifer, Summer and Sarah and Lauren and Lida. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is try to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thinking, feeling, physical stuff, noises in your bedroom, noises outside of your room, travel, changes in routine. Whatever is keeping you awake, I'd like to try to distract you. That's a safe place. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use these slow... I don't know if these are slow-cooked. I think half-baked is a way to describe the way my brain... Quarter-baked, probably. You know, because now these places have a half-baked pizza. Like, so now half-baked isn't as, like, you'd say quarter-baked... barely defrosted, I guess. Thank you. My brain just chimed in and said, well, I don't know. I'm not feeling any, but barely defrosted brain. Thank you. I don't know if my brain realized the irony that it's pointing itself out. But so, yeah, I'm not half baked. I'm barely defrosted. Probably, I mean, that's definitely my emotional makeup. Say, well, when are you, well, at the holidays, I'm barely defrosted. Rest of the time, you know, you could probably figure it out. Oh, but if you're new here, welcome. So I'm going to try to create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake. I'm going to send my voice, creaky dulcet tones, barely defrosted brain. A sense of warm welcome, because I'm glad you're here. The reason I make a podcast and where it comes from is my inability to sleep and the fact that listening to the radio would take my mind off of that when I was a kid. And I can never forget what it was like lying there, staring at the ceiling, you know, thinking and analyzing and tossing and turning. And just kind of, I mean, this isn't to stir anything up, but just to be stuck in that misery. But then also have this valve to escape listening to like comedy radio and Dr. Demento. And the goal of the podcast is kind of something in between those two things. But it starts with that I want you to feel welcome. Now, this podcast doesn't work for everybody. My voice tonight is particularly creaky and dulcet. But let's see. Where am I trying to figure out where? Like, somebody just texted me a picture of me from like 1999. And I don't think this reflects how I feel about how I look now, but when I looked at that picture, I said, Jesus, so that was like, whatever, 2009, whatever, 15 years ago or more? I don't know, but I said, man, I look older then than I do now. So, you know, I think that, I said, holy moly. But I'm glad you're here. So I don't know if that's why I'm distracted, but usually, so tonight, let me set this up. If you're new here, here's the structure of our Sunday night shows. We do 5 minutes of business to pay the bills so we can make this podcast and keep it out free. And by supporting the sponsors or supporting the show, you know, you keep it free and you keep all the archives out there. And then all the people that help out on the show, we give them credit. Then we're in the middle or the beginning of like an intro. Usually these intros are about 12 to 14 minutes. And most people, like, some people fall asleep during the intro. A few people skip the intro. Some people, this is your way to ease into the podcast and say, okay, like, also when I'm most likely to, you know, reveal, you know, little quirks about myself, like that I'm barely defrosted. Then we'll talk about Star Trek The Next Generation for about 45 minutes to an hour, and then, or the whole episode will be about 45 minutes. Then we do about 5-10 minutes of thank yous. And the whole idea why we do that is like, so you're under no pressure to listen to me. So I guess you can kind of tune into, but you don't have to pay attention to. It'll be there, but you shouldn't be gripping or you're like, I can't miss another second of Scooter talking about old pictures of himself. Yeah, it was old picture of me, and I don't even know what I was thinking with the, it was when I was in fur denial, and I still grew my bangs along, trying to find a haircut that would look normal on me instead of just buzzing it. It was when I had the delusion of youth. Anyway, back to you, listener. So then I'll talk, the other thing about the podcast is it's at least an hour. So you're not under any pressure to fall asleep either. The podcast will be here. I'll be rambling about Star Trek, taking slow, easy meanders, fixating on details that are inane at best. But I do like to do like a quote from the episode. And this one comes in from Picard's daughter, of all people. She says, "You've taught me to pursue the truth, no matter how tough it is." And then Picard says back to her, "Seize the time, Maribor. Live now. Make now always the most precious time. Now will never come again." And it's like a lot of our quotes from Jean-Luc. When it's coming from Jean-Luc in context, that makes a lot of sense. You know, live now, carpe diem. But at bedtime, or I guess, like, no carpe diem after 6 p.m., I'd probably say maybe 7 o'clock should be carpe cutoff time. Because it's like, that's the kind of stuff that for me comes up once I'm in bed and I say, okay, I think I'm comfortable. This thing says, well, geez, you didn't really seize the day today, did you? And then another part of me be like, seize the day? He was barely present in the day. And then some zen-like part of me would probably be like, if only you were more zen today, you would have been, if you could only be more mindful. And they said, well, actually, I'm trying to be mindful right now. I'm trying to go to sleep. Could you other brain parts be mindful that I'm trying to seize my pillow and, you know, snooze, you know, just, I want to be drooling into this pillow soon. And I said, well, geez, I guess, well, and then they said, well, I guess he's not going to be living now, like whatever they call, you know, all the other slogans that have to do with that kind of lifestyle, FOMO or whatever, or YOLO. Or, and I said, no, I'm trying to go to bed. I don't need any FOMO or low. I mean, ideally I'd picture I could just picture J-Lo or something and then drift off into her heavenly eyes. But yeah, like, and they said, okay, well, but before you go to sleep, could we talk about you seizing the day tomorrow? Oh yeah, can we talk about, do you think if we shame you tonight, you'll be more motivated to be mindful tomorrow? I think you've been trying that for like 30, that hasn't worked so far. Shame, mindfulness through shame. It's a book that we do. I don't think it'd sell a copy. And so I don't know if anybody that's listening can relate to anything like that, or it could be just something like similar, like you're like going on with your partner or your body or your cat. It says, well, as soon as they get comfortable, I like to start making slurpy sounds. That's another thing. I say, Koa, can you take a bath anytime before 11 p.m., please? I know dogs tongue bath themselves loudly, but could you do it when I'm not at the house? Because I do, like, I'm trying to go to sleep, and I got this freaking faux Zen master in my head saying, well, geez, if you weren't worthless, you'd be able to be mindful. I say, well, thank you. What school of Zen are you exactly? Because are you a Taoist? Because I feel like I wish I had to, like, a comeback for that, but yeah. I don't have anything to say about that. So, could you stop, please, taking a bath? And also, could the rest... So here's where the podcast comes in. And I say, hey, like, because in that situation, I mean, that was about me, right? And my big ego that I was, like, such a non-day Caesar I don't know, whatever. It's like a narrative, a story about myself and my self-worth tied to if I would have... been mindful and, you know, zesty or whatever the hell you call it during the day, or if I could do that tomorrow, everything would be great. But the truth of the matter is it's bedtime. And the other truth is, like, you should take the pressure off because it's really hard to, those voices are, you know, well-worn. And so to distract yourself from the voices you're already familiar with is kind of tough. But in this case, I come in. And, you know, my issues are my issues. So you say, well, I could listen to Scoot's issues. He also has a lot of issues. Not only does he have lack of FOMO and, you know, like he's YOLO, V-I-R-G-I-N, never, you only live once. I don't think those two things connect to each other, brain. But, my brain just said, yes, they did. My mic doesn't pick up on it, so I have to, you can listen to me, and then, like, after that, I'll just be describing, like, basic, like, non-impactful stuff on Star Trek tonight. And it's also a track, and it's also a story, and it can kind of carry you off, but then you'll also realize, well, I'm not really invested in this, and it doesn't really have to do with tomorrow or the past or the present. It's just kind of Scoots in his creaky dulcets, and I'm here for you. The reason I make the podcast, like I said, is I've been there. And if I can distract you, it helps me. I mean, it doesn't quiet those freaking voices in my head, but it gives, you know, it gives me hope. And it says, maybe it does quiet them a little bit. I say, hey, come on in. I'll give you what if we all snuggle up here? And instead of YOLOing, we'll just picture J-Lo's eyes, you know, floating. I say, well, that's not bad. I say, yeah, go ahead and look into her eyes. She's, it's also Artemis, wow, really? So, you know, I can do some self-soothing, but, like, this is different than that. It's just a podcast to distract you. And ideally, at some point, you kind of tune me out and you just cross over that threshold from wake to sleep. Now, the show doesn't work for everybody, but I do recommend, and most even people that write reviews say, give it a few tries, I mean, there's no pressure. No pressure to fall asleep. No pressure to even like this podcast or like me. You know, it's just an offering for you to try, and I hope it works for you because I've been through it. I've been in that rigmarole. So I appreciate you listening to the show. If you're skeptical, totally get it. And what I really want to say is I'm glad you're here. And not only do I hope, I really yearn and I really work hard to try to help you fall asleep. Thanks for coming by. All right, buddy, this is Scoots here. If you're new, you don't have to listen to this or worry about it. But if you're a regular listener, maybe you had the same experience I had when I tried to make the show, which was like, how come there's not something out there that sees how I'm feeling in the deep, dark night? And so I decided to make Sleep With Me because I said, is anybody else feeling this loneliness, this inability to turn off, that needs a distraction and a friend, that needs a podcast that puts you to sleep? And so I made Sleep With Me. And the reason we asked for support for the show, whether it's supporting the sponsors or supporting the show directly on Sleep With Me Plus, is because over 120 hours per week of work goes into the show right now. And in the past, I did as much of that as I could myself, and that was never sustainable, right? So if you do count on it, supporting it, just make sure it'll be there for you. So your action, kind of, you know, make sure Sleep With Me will be there for you, but a lot of other people too. Kind of cool bonus. And if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, you get everything organized in the way you want to listen. You get story-only episodes. At certain tiers, you get all intro episodes. You get all-night, extra-long compilations. You get bonus shows and exclusives that might not fit in this main feed, and you get ad-free full episodes, of course. But you also get that peace of mind and that joy of participating in something. I don't know, you say, wow, I'm glad this is in the world because I needed it. So if any of that appeals to you, think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. But thanks, and those of you that are hearing this have supported the show in the past, thanks a lot, because the show's here because of you. And this isn't, well, you know, I know not everybody's in a position to support the show, so I totally understand that too, and that's a great thing again for the people that do. There's people that would love to support the show but they can't, or there's people that would love to support the show but they're just kind of stuck or whatever. So your support supports the show for them too, so thank you so much. All right, everybody, tonight we're going to be talking about season 5, episode 25, The Inner Light. And this episode suggestion came in from our good friend Lauren Spohr, who makes a criminal podcast, one of the best podcasts out there. She's also one of the nicest people on the planet Earth, or I guess, like, what do they say? Space, or in any final frontiers. You say, geez, Lauren's going to be nice to you, even if there's a shortage of supplies, probably. I mean, even if you practice magic. Anyway, she suggests this episode. I remember her telling me about it before she even suggested. She said, did you see this episode where Picard blankety, 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 blank? You know, because I don't want to spoil it. So thank you, Lauren. Make sure to check out Criminal Podcast. I think you probably have, but if not, get it on your list. And this is an episode. Let me get it started. So I got my setup here. I got the transcript at the ready. You got the old iPod. Am I recording? Okay, yeah. I get overwhelmed with this technology, so obviously I don't think I'd fit in on the bridge of the Starship. Let's see my notes here. So actually, there's an interesting opening because it opens with these, like, the rainbow warp streaks. Like the white light is streaking in a rainbow pattern. This is the first time I've noticed it. I don't know, but it's like rainbow. It's a Roy G. Biv. I'm watching it. Yeah, because then you can see the ship slow down. And at first, like, I was pausing, and I thought it was only the streak would go blue, red, yellow, green. But then I said, but not always. And then I noticed a little indigo, and I said, where the heck is Roy G. Biv? And I don't know if they still teach Roy G. Biv in schools. That's how you remember the spectrum. I don't know. Does the visible spectrum change? Wasn't there that dress controversy? I don't know if that had to do with Roy G. Biv, but red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. And again, I always wonder how come blue gets so much love, because blue, indigo, and violet. I guess violet's purple. Violet Beauregard. But then it ends up, it's just like, it is Roy G. Biv, but it just doesn't always red, yellow. Oh, wait, was there orange? I don't know if I saw any orange in there, but there was red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And let me tell you about my watching technique this week. It was a carryover from last week. So I watched it once after I talked to Lauren for pleasure, just, you know, cash watch. Then I went to watching it in these 7 to 8 minute increments, like usually with the length of an ad post, you know, between the ad breaks, and, you know, pausing a lot. So maybe it takes me now 30 or 40 minutes to watch 7 or 8 minutes, probably 30 minutes. And then when I work out on Monday and Friday, I watch it, and now I'm watching it again. Picard's in his season 5 coat. And let me just run through the visuals. Something appears on screen. It's like a probe. And it's got fins. And the crew's like, everybody's... This is a tangent. I guess I might as well do it now. It was later in the episode when I realized it. Just today. And this is like, some of you will laugh at my foolhardiness. And I'm not joking. Like, I didn't realize till today... Oh, wait, these are some archetypes on here, on the ship. Like, today became clear, even though Worf is from the Klingons, which are a warrior-like group of warrior culture. I was just noticing Worf went into his default mode a couple times, and his warrior side came. I said, oh, he's a warrior. And then they went to Data, and I guess I don't know what archetype Data is other than, like, the Data, like, fact-based being. Then Geordi, I don't know, like, because Geordi's more on the engineering, so he's kind of on the, I don't know what Geordi archetype, and then, I don't know, is Riker the trickster? That would make me more jealous of Riker if he's a trickster. Then Dr. Crusher, I don't know if she's the healer. I don't know my archetypes, I don't know my ass from an archetype, for sure. And then I don't know if, is there like an empath? Troy wasn't, I don't think Troy's in this episode at all, now that I'm thinking about it. She was at like a, you know, retreat conference or maybe a retreat. Anyway, that was something I noticed. Let's see what my notes, now I paused it. We've detected an object we cannot identify. Oh, and then Picard says zoom or magnify versus zoom. I thought that stuck out to me. Nowadays we say zoom instead of magnify. Data, he says, and then they say, Data says, I got no record of this probe we're looking at. And then Worf says, this thing's taking up a relative position. And then I got to go, because I can't understand my handwriting. And they say, Data, and I think he says, teledextic, a ceramic alloy, or something. And then Geordi says, Not very sophisticated, but that was a clue. This is a clue. Like if we look at these Star Trek episodes, especially this style one. And again, like I'll just break any delusions you have about me. I did not figure out. I think I got close to figuring it out towards the end, but I didn't figure out what the mystery was. Mostly, I didn't figure it out till they explained it to me. But that ceramic alloy and that it's not very sophisticated is a clue. I mean, you'd have to be friggin' Sherlock Holmes to figure it out with that clue. Or, you know, a smart person. Then Worf, then the action starts to heat up because Worf detects a lower-level nucleonic beam. And Riker stands up from a seated position. So then you say, okay, now it's getting, you know, he says, shields up. And Data says the beam scanning, it's sending out some sort of unusual particle stream. Worf is like, this thing is penetrating our shields. And then there's a flash of light, and Picard sees it somehow. I think Picard says they're trying to move away, and the ship is following them, taking up relative position. So I think Picard says increase speed to head shake. I don't know what that means. Increased speed to head shake. But then there's a flash of light and Picard faints. But Riker catches him. He goes, I got you. And there's this soft, fuzzy Riker cradling Picard. He says, don't worry, Captain or Commander. I got you. And then it fades and gets fuzzy. And then it's a woman looking down at us. We're looking through the eyes. Actually, we're not looking through the eyes of Picard. We're off left. And she's smiling as she comes into focus. She says, geez, well, finally. guard looks up. She says, she's, how are you feeling? And she says, hey, Cayman, can you answer me? Ricard's not moving yet. He's looking around, trying to process. And now he gets suspicious. He says, where am I? And she says, you're feverish. She says, freeze program, computer, cut it out. End program. He thinks he's on a holodeck. He's got a blanket on, and I guess we might as well go into what he's wearing, because it's, well, no, he gets up. We don't have a full shot of his outfit yet. He says, Enterprise, come in. And the woman says, geez, you're not well. And Picard's serious, seriously suspicious. He goes, who are you? She goes, this is your house, your home. We don't see his outfit, because then it fades to the open. Let me just read through what else I have here. Riker catches him so gently, soft focus, Riker, woman smiling. Well, finally, how are you feeling? She's talking to Picard, who's on a couch. Cayman, can you answer me? Picard gets, I don't know what that, like, I can't see a three-letter word. I can't decipher. Suspicious look. I took the time to rewrote suspicious, because if I didn't, it looks like sup guar. But I rewrote suspicious so I could read it. And it says, look, suspicious look, what is this place? You know, she says, you're feverish, Cayman. Freeze program, computer. End program. Oh, well, here's my notes on Picard's outfit. Picard pulls off his blanket. He's dressed like an elf. And he is. He's dressed like an elf in a universe where the elves aren't as stylish as the ones we're familiar with. And he says, I asked you, what is this place? He's serious. She says, your home, of course. And then there's an opening. And it's still not doing good about tracking the story, but it opens with a strange probe. Picard faints, and then Picard's confused. He's in a new home. Okay, then we have the opening, and then the ship flies across the screen. Picard faces the woman. He have Sinal Tide like Prinks. Oh, he has... Man, my writing is... I don't know what this is. He has something. But their outfits are in like an upscale tie-dye print. His is green. Hers is more of an orangish red. He also has this, like, leather belt with rings. And his pants, they're like straight out of King and I or something. They're tight around the... below the knee, and then they're puffy above the knee. I mean, that's like, I don't know if I'm familiar with King and I, but that's just what I thought. Also, his chest is out. I guess I'll talk about it later, but man, is Patrick Stewart's in unbelievable shape. The house is very upscale with like tapestries and sculptures, which that one kind of doesn't fit. And on the walls, Picard backs away. He's like asking questions. Another thing is he the house had a security panel to open the door, and he automatically knew how to get out. Like what button to push. I didn't know about that. And let's see. So he's testing things. He backs the door. She says, you really shouldn't go outside. He's like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going outside. I will. And then he knows what button to push. He strides off. She does not follow. I thought if he wasn't healthy, she might follow him. I put double question mark. That was WTF number one. WTF number two, like I was putting myself in Picard's shoes, which is probably a mistake. I would have been really worried about getting lost and not being able to find my way back home. But Picard doesn't seem to worry one bit. I mean, maybe because I'm sober now, but I used to like at a hotel... I could never find, my mind wouldn't remember. Even now, I don't remember hotel room numbers and stuff. Like, what floor were we on? But he doesn't worry about it. Then it's Arbor Day, and they're having Arbor Day in defiance of the drought. And they say, down with the drought, yay, Arbor Day. And they're planting trees as a symbol of survival. And Picard rolls up to the guy in charge. But Ty, Richard Reel, I don't recognize his name, but he looks familiar. Whatever button I just pressed, I just messed up big time watching it. Don't worry, though, I got it under control. the Arbor guy. He's in a blue tie-dye print, but with like a weaved greenish vest. And Picard says, I want back on my ship. Are you the one in charge? And he says, the fever, it's taken your memory. I forgot what Picard said. Kamen is Picard's name. And then he says, yeah, it must be. Like, Picard starts to play dumb. He does it terribly. Because he's very serious at this point. Obviously, he's woken up on a strange planet with a new wife. And actually, this guy's his best friend. So he plays dumb, and he tries to get more info. Who are you? And Batai says, your best friend, Batai. You know, you call him, he goes, when no one else is around, you call me Tie Dog. And Picard goes, Batai. And you say, I've been ill? And he goes, yeah, for like a week. Your wife, she should have put you in the hospital, but she's caring for you herself. Oh, and he also says, Aline. And Picard says, Aline? And he goes, if you don't remember, that's your wife. And Picard says, and what is this place? And this guy, Batai, he's really nice. He says, geez, maybe we should go see the doctor, buddy. And Picard goes, no, it'll all come back to me. He goes, Resik, Northern Province. And Picard says, what planet? And the guy goes, holy moly. He goes, you look great. But he goes, let's go home. And Picard says, no, just humor me. What planet? He goes, Catan. And he goes, Catan. Picard says, no, it's not a Federation planet. You know what? I'm going to go for a walk. And the guy goes, dude, you've been ill. He goes, no, exercise will do me good. Reacquaint myself with the surroundings. But the guy, he kind of laughs at different points. The guy really seems to care and have concern. You know, this one I put, Patrick Stewart's in holy cow good shape. Ripped. Patrick Stewart's all muscle, and he's not jacked, he's just very, I don't know how old he is I don't know why they didn't come out with the Picard diet or whatever, or pea stew, instead of P90, pea stewie, I don't know if there's any interviews with what he was doing to stay in shape, but he's in, excellent shape. Yeah, says he's going to go for what? Get reacquainted with myself. I didn't realize that was a double entendre. Guy watches him go. Picard goes and climbs a mountain that overlooks the city. And they definitely live in a rocky valley, mountain type province. It looks very cool. But remember, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. It looks very cool, but remember. And then he heads home. Then I did a story check. So we got Picard on a strange planet. Everyone acts like he belongs there. Looks around. So yeah, my story plotting still needs work. Then Picard gets home. His wife's been up late waiting for him. He knocks at the door instead of just coming in. She says, thanks goodness. Why did you worry us? You know, I said people looking for you. And Picard, I don't know, typical. And she says, are you hungry? He says, hungry, thirsty, exhausted, totally famished. He goes, suppose that means it's not a dream. And she goes, you think your life is a dream? And Picard really gets teed off. He goes, this is not my life. Very loud. And he has this thoughtful look on his face, and she's at a loss, clearly. She says, well, let me go get you some food to break up this awkwardness. And Picard kind of glares at the floor. He does a lot of holding of the arms of the chair he's in. And she says, where'd you go? He goes, well, I walked for hours, yoast out of bed. What does that mean? Let me see if I can figure that out, I think she just said, geez, you just barely got out of bed. Then she gives him some stew or something. And this is like this Zen eating moment, where they say, chew your food 50 times or whatever. Picard savors every drop of the food, I think, because it's real food and not from a multiplier, whatever those things are called. I mean, he tastes every drop. I put Zen travel or light. I don't know, probably He's very contemplative, and curious now than his earlier combative mode. He goes, let me ask you some strange questions. And she goes, okay. He goes, are there any other stars in the planets in the star system? Do you visit them? And her face says everything. He goes, what about communications? How do you send a message to other places? She goes, voice transit conductor, dude. Do you want to send a message? He goes, yeah. When can we do it? She goes, tomorrow. And then she says, are you just worried about, what about our relationship? Aren't you worried? She's stunned, like, basically. Don't you care about us? Now, something, of course, what do you have? Oh, Picard says, geez, oh yeah, I'm concerned about us. Anything you could tell me would be helpful. How long have we been married? She said, 3 years. I'm so happy about it. Picard goes, what do I do for a living? She goes, you're an iron weaver at the best. She goes, but you love playing the flute. And Picard goes, the flute, really? And she goes, yeah. And then she gives him a little whistle, has a little tassel on it. And he goes, when did I learn to play it? And she goes, well, you don't know how to play it. Which kind of contradicts what she said, but she says, you keep trying. And he, you know, picks it up, gives it a little blow, and he goes, huh. And he goes, well, thanks for this. This was delicious. I'm just going to curl up on this chair here, and we'll send that message out tomorrow. I'll be out of here. And she says, she's come to bed, please. And Picard says, like, then he gets the, she doesn't mean to sleep. And Picard says, oh, no, I'm sick. I totally am sick. I'm going to be sweaty and I wouldn't be able to fall asleep. I'll just sleep on the chair. And she goes, let me be the judge of that. And then she leans forward, and at first you think Picard's, looking, at her neck, at the nape of her neck, seductively. But really, he's looking at a pendant on her necklace, which looks exactly like the probe, which is like an octagon with two fins, I think, with some red highlights. And it has one light on it, not the pin, not the thing on the necklace, the actual probe. Picard goes, where'd you get this? And she goes, you gave it to me, baby. It was your first gift. Then we're back at Riker, and he calls, he says, the captain, something's going on with the captain. Then we go to an ad, and then Riker and Crusher, Crusher's like, everything's normal but his brain function. And then we do everybody gets a chance to help. Riker says, Data, what do you think? And Data says, it's just unusual, the particle emissions, I can't block them. Then Worf says, we should just destroy the probe. And Crusher says, no, we got to figure out what's going on. And Riker's doing a good, I don't know if this is consensus building or not. I guess not, because Riker's in charge. But Riker says, all right, yeah, let's stand down, Worf, for the meantime. And he goes, let's back off a little. And then they say, Data's like, the probe's following us. And Crusher says, it's connected to him like a tether. What else do we have? Picard, go to bed, low energy, rubbing the arms of his chair, zoom in. A fake out where he sees the satellite as a necklace. Worf, destroy a probe, not wise, Crusher says. Relative position connected to him like a tether. This is the next day at WTF 2, big time. It took me the first time I watched it. Something different about Picard. I mean, it didn't hit me in an instant, but he's got a hair. And it doesn't look good. It really, you say, man, he's way better with shaved head look. But he's got hair and a sextant. And I think he would only have neither. He would only have a sextant if he had no hair normally, if you catch my drift. But he's got, just hair on the sides and the back. And I think I was really staring at it. I think it's like makeup, you know. I mean, I'm positive, but I don't know. It just was me. I think I was just staring at his head and his hair. But it did add the passing of time. I think they needed it to show the passing of time. But Picard's outside doing starship. Like his wife says, geez, are you dreaming of starships again? He goes, no, just looking at the sun, dear. Figuring out this drought. And she goes, no, you're trying to figure out where you are and where your ship is and how you can get back to that life. And then, boom, Picard drops us. Well, that was 5 years ago, but it's still inside me. And she goes, was your life so much better there, gratifying, fulfilling, and that you stubbornly cling to it? And, I mean, again, like, when you think about the way that the show tests the character's mental, like, the resiliency, Picard is really resilient here. Because then, I mean, overall, like, dealing with this incredible experience of just starting a new life, it's already been going, you know, while he wasn't there. But she says, geez, was your old life such great? She goes, oh, it must have been so great. You know, all the stories. But you don't mention anyone that loved you like I do. And Picard says, I'm sorry. He goes, it was real. As real as this. And you can't expect me to forget a lifetime spent there. And she says, actually, I can, Kamen. She goes, 5 years I've put up with your other life, and when do I get you back? And this is kind of like a theme that plays out a little bit. He goes, well, I don't know. I know it's hard on you. And she goes, when are you going to start living this life? Let's get a family going. And then Batai saves the day, his buddy. He says, hey, what's up? And he says, we got to go talk to the government stooges coming by from... You want to check it out? He goes, yeah. And he goes, do you want to come, Elaine? And she goes, no, you're on your own. That's how you do it best. And then Batai says, oh, boy, that was rough. She's strong-minded. And Picard goes, well, he owns it. He says, well, it's not. He goes, it's more me. He goes, I've been difficult. And Batai, as any best friend, goes, yeah, and for you, too, it's been difficult. He doesn't. I liked this. He said, yeah, it's been difficult for you too. And some of these scenes in a third or fourth viewing make a little bit less sense when you try to figure out what's really happening. But maybe you're not supposed to overthink it that much. Let's see. So wife seems jealous. 5 years, double explanation point. Never loved you as I do. I said, I think everybody that's worked for Picard has loved him. And I'm sure people have romantically loved him too. But the love his crew has for him is very deep and genuine and goes beyond, you know, well beyond a professional relationship. I think Riker for sure. I mean, I think everybody. So I guess I have to take exception with that, even though Aileen or his wife, she doesn't own loving Picard. I mean, I think maybe I might love Picard, in a different way than that. And I'd say, well, I mean, I think I love Picard like 100% bald better. So actually, I don't know if that disproves that either. What did I say? I've shamed you. When do I get you back? I don't know. Maybe that was a projection. So then they go to meet this government stooge. It's Arbor Day again, and he's there. Oh, so you have trees. And the Batai says, yeah, hope is a powerful weapon. And there's a lot of people in the background. And then the government stooge calls Batai alarmist because he's worried about the drought. And Picard says, let me drop some science on you, stooge. This government guy is definitely, this episode could have been made 1 year ago, which is interesting because he's a climate change denier. Now, their climate is changing for a different reason. The supernova sun, I guess, is slowly going supernova, which is causing drought and temperature increases. But just interesting that, the timelessness of this episode, thematically. So then Picard says, well, but here's some science for you. And he goes, well, Kamen, tell me, but I don't want to quash your ideas. Picard says, we could build some condensers. And he goes, no, we can't. And then I don't know if this was I guess I start to wonder about this, who told this story? Because as what do you call that? The curtain peels back. We see that this is really a narrative within a narrative kind of situation, or maybe two triple. I don't know. But I wonder what the, I forgot the name of this planet, Cassian 4 or something. Like, I don't know what message they were trying to get enduring. But it seems like if this was the message they were broadcasting, it's interesting that they broadcast as the official message that the government stooge, like the government was like a bit of a letdown with this whole situation. You know, usually official messages would make the government look good, where this is more telling the truth. Well, they didn't think like there was any reason to worry about this drought and that it wasn't going to be bad. And then Batai says, like, geez, that went great. The government loves you. Oh, there's also the greetings, be well. And then Batai says, go carefully. Those are kind of the way they're greetings, which is good when you're thinking about the narrative thing. Picard's like, yeah, that didn't go good. And then Batai says, no, no, things move slowly. Things take time. You think the guy also said, like, this was very didactic. I don't know if this was here in a pedagogy, whatever. He said to Picard, I think you'll like our form of participatory government. And I said, well, they snuck that one in there. But then Picard's in a better mood. He says, dude, you got to come over for dinner. Let's hang tonight. And the guy says, I noticed you were speaking as a member of this community for the first time. And then it's nighttime, and Batai and Kamen are just kicking it. I'd like to kick it with Kamen, but like Batai's drinking something. Picard's playing his flute or his whistle, or I don't know. Like, it reminds me of the recorders. It was like a smaller version, but the sound very much like a recorder that, you know, you had to use in grammar school. And he was playing Frère Jacques at first. And Batai starts to give him the business. He says, man, you're brooding behind that flute, eh? And Picard says, I'm immersed, different. He goes, it helps me think. And he goes, I really enjoy it. Batai says, you're getting better. And then Aline comes out. It's like passive aggressive, like competing for attention mode. She says, hit the road, Batai. And he goes, yes, ma'am. And he says, good night. And then I say, good night. And then she says, go carefully, Batai. And then she picks up his shoes. She goes, this is the last time I'm picking up after you, buddy. And Picard says, yes, man. And she says, I'm sorry. I don't want to, you know, this is very real, like marriage stuff. She goes, I don't want to be a nag. Picard goes, no, I'm sorry. He goes, everything you said today is true. I've given you so little and you've given me so much. And she goes, well, you're a good man. And he goes, well, I'm not a good husband. You know, I spend my time. This was funny, too. He goes, I spend my time charting the stars and I disappear for days at a time exploring the countryside. And he goes, just like my old life, old habits, you know, die hard. Also, I think I might write some fantasy fiction about this. Mostly about his son, Batai, but maybe about Picard's adventures on the countryside, Kamen on the countryside, but we'll see. And then Picard says, you know, I want your permission. I want to build something. And she goes, well, you already have a laboratory and a telescope. You don't need my permission. He goes, for this I do. And she says, what? He goes, a nursery. And she goes, you got to be kidding me. And then Picard says, unless you want a porch, that would be easier to build. I could get on that. And she goes, no. And then they have this deep romantic kiss. Let's see what else. Picard stops. Oh, there was like one continuity error. Like Picard had stopped playing, but the music was still playing with the flute. No, I'm sorry. He breathes. I give you so little. You've given me so much. Days at a time exploring the countryside. They cracked me up. Old habits. Then we go to the ship after their big time kiss. Riker, Geordi's progress. He goes, they're using a solid propellant. I can trace it. And Riker goes, so we'll send a probe after to find out where their probe came from. And then Data says, I think we could reflect and disrupt the beam. And he says, what do you think, Dr. Crusher? And she goes, I wouldn't pull, you know, you don't want to pull something out. You know, we're not sure what would happen. Could do more harm. And then Worf says, the captain is under attack and we must do whatever we can. And this time Riker says, I'm inclined to agree. Let's cut the cord. And then there's an ad. Then there's a post break. There's a daughter, a little girl, which, I mean, it's pretty quick to assume it's Picard's daughter. She's in pink. She's playing piano, Piard, playing Picard. She's playing on the, oh, Picard's playing on the flute. He really needs a haircut. His sides are wicked bushy. Really underlies how good his look is. Oh, with his bald, yeah. His wife's holding a baby. The parents are in very formal outfits. It started, I think it was at this point that I said, wait a second, Picard's like Link from, now I just can't even think, Zelda. He's got his flute and he's dressed like an elf. He's a Link. And it, like, it is, it's true. This is Picard's Link moment. I mean, here we go. I mean, I don't think Link ever wore a rusty-colored outfit, maybe, but in the beginning, Picard's in the green. Now it's 2439, though. Maybe Link, when Link was married or something, like in his formal, he just held out his hand to stop the applause. And they're having a party. Yeah, very elvish, pulling in Link. There's a nice spread for the party. There's like a modern punch bowl. Looks like a lemonade. There's like dinner rolls and like some sort of cheese nut log, I think. Everybody's like, oh boy, let's get to these snacks. Picard does some handshaking. Oh, what was the name of that band? Locomotive Mouth or whatever. Ian, I can't remember. I thought I would remember between now and when I took the notes. Oh, I just thought of it. Now it just rushed me. I can picture the album cover. Past Masters, was that the name of the album? It's like a 60s band. Locomotive Breath. Did I say that already? Anyway, then Bataille, they named the kid Bataille in his honor. And Picard says something about the warmth of friends. And then he starts breathing a couple times. He breathes again. He goes up on his tippy toes, and then he faints. And then back on the ship, Picard's in a little bit of trouble. And Crusher's like, get that beam back up. And then it's like one of the TV procedural shows. Like originally ER was the big one. Because she goes, cortical scanners or something, you know, stimulator beamers. And they say, check. And she goes, you know, 20 megavolts of Megatron. And then the beam's back. And then Picard's back. And Crusher takes a deep breath. Then we see outside, daughter no older. But that's wrong. And she says, happy day, father. Picard's looking older. And his daughter's name is Maribor, and then they're both on the case. She's, like, doing soil tests, and she goes, you know, this is a long drought, father. She goes, we got 25 years of records here, and we both reached the same conclusion. Picard says, I haven't reached any conclusion. I don't function by conjecture. And his daughter says, a good scientist functions by hypothesizing and then proving or disproving by hypothesis. Scientific method, yo. And Picard says, what about Danik, this dude? And she goes, why are you changing the subject? And he goes, well, I got a hypothesis. He loves you, dear. And she goes, I thought you were teaching me to pursue the truth, no matter how painful it is. It's too late to back off now. You know, our planet's in trouble. And Picard says, yeah, beyond trouble. So maybe you shouldn't worry about He goes, maybe I should have filled your head with trivial concerns, games and toys and clothes. And the daughter says, I don't think you mean that. And he goes, no, but he goes, it saddens me to see you burdened with the truth and when it's out of your control. But she also takes in Tara because she said, well, maybe I will take another look at this Danik character. And he says, seize the time, Maribor, live now, make now the most precious time. Now will never come again. And she says, I love you, father. Let's see what else. I love you, Father. And in the ship, they see Riker pacing. Crusher says he's stable. Geordi says, followed a probable trail to Catan. Let me see what they actually say. It goes to Catan, a Solarian sector. Riker says, never heard of a Data. He goes, unmapped system of six planets inhabited. Nope. Star went Nova 1,000 years ago. Oh boy. And it's a mystery. I put mystery, bomb, bomb, bomb. And then the ad, which I mean, it still is a mystery to me. Here's the thing. I don't know why I put prob. Oh, probe, prob, P-R-O-B. I should have added an E. Octagon with a fin on the top and the bottom, with like the tail of an airplane, with one light or the bun in some red highlights. One red light for the beam. Okay, then we have Picard with a big, like a world-class telescope, like the nicest one you could have at your house. Also very steampunk because of the metal he used. He's taking notes. His wife comes out. They're both much older. She says, put away your shoes again. And thanks him, and his wife thinks that thanks, he says. So him and his wife are getting older. Then there's a flout in the night, and Picard, it's Batai, his son, and Picard bellyaches about Batai, and his wife says, well, Batai's got something on his mind, and Batai comes out, he says, Father, I'm into music, I'm not into, like, the rest of this junk, like, job stuff. He really has to stand up, and Picard's, like, looking very old and grouchy. He goes, I'm dropping out of school to play the flout, and Picard goes, oh, no, you're not, And he goes, well, that's what I want. I love to play the flute. And the father says, well, you're all over the place. Math, botany, flutes. And Batai says, first it's been the flute the whole time. He goes, this is the life I want. And Picard's eyes move and he says, huh, okay. He goes, maybe we'll talk about it later. And Batai knows what that means. And he says, thank you, Father. Let's see, determined look, through it all, music, this is my life, I want it, well, we'll discuss it. And then the wife says, after all these years, you still surprise me. And Picard says, well, who knows how much time I'll have, to follow his dreams. Eustace is a what does that say? Can't stay silent. Eustace. Okay, I can't figure out my writing, but it says something is to provoke. You can't stay silent. Basically, he's going to go talk to the government stooge about the evidence about the drought. Evidence is too pronounced. I can't stay silent. And his voice says, what a surprise. Then Kamen and the administrator argue. He goes, what do you want? He goes, why are you going to spread these things about the planet? It's trouble. And Picard goes, they're facts, actually. And he goes, you got to tell somebody that'll actually know what to do. And the administrator says, I don't want to stir up trouble. And then he takes it Picard's side. He goes, actually, he goes, we knew about this 2 years ago. That's it. This is on the beach. He goes, did you ever read Neville Shoots on the Beach? And Picard goes, that's... an Earth book. He goes, well, that's what we got here. We're in the on-the-beach scenario. And Picard says, well, can't we do something? And he goes, no. Like I said, it's an on-the-beach scenario. There's nothing we can do. And Picard says, what about genetic samples, at least? You know, you got to let this civilization live on. And then the missionary says, there is a plan in work, but I can't tell you more than that. Dum-dum-dum. And then Batai shows up. He goes, Father, Mother's in trouble here. So Picard runs home in Cayman, actually. He says goodbye to his wife, who goes to live in the, like the great moisture evaporator in the sky. And then there's an ad. Then we see Picard playing with his grandson, playing around, having fun. The daughter comes in. She's in a hat. Yes, I had a crush on the daughter. I mean, she's very, I don't know, I said, is this my attraction to Picard playing out? But she comes in, and everyone, I noticed everyone was in their finest clothes. Picard's being a curmudgeon, yeah, for sure. First, the daughter comes in. She goes, "There's some children making a lot of noise in here." And Picard says, "You don't got enough sunscreen on. You're outside for so long." She goes, "Don't worry about it." And he goes, "How about you, young man? Do you, you know," he's tickling the kid, "do you have your sunscreen on? Skin protector, they call it." And then Bataille comes in, his kid. He's looking more and more like Picard. He goes, "Happy day, everybody. Let's go see this launching." And Picard's like, "A launching? What are you talking about?" And everyone's like, "Dad, the rocket they're sending up, we're going to go watch it." He goes, "I'm not going anywhere." And Bataille says, "Come on, me and I'll take your kid to see the launching." And they go, and then Picard says, "This is just too hard, this on-the-beach scenario. It sounded so good in the book, and especially when Dear Scooter always says he would like to see that as a movie with Jude Law. The only role Dear Scooter's cast is Jude Law, as the guy that drives the car, race cars." And then she says, "Dad, what are you talking about?" He goes, "It's just hard, you know." And she goes, "Come on, Father, let's go watch this launching." He goes, "How come I didn't hear anything about this launching?" And they all put hats on. Very good lesson, again, a lot of foresight about, we're all supposed to wear hats like that, I guess. I don't. I wear sunscreen, but not hats like that. Yeah, she says, "Please come, Father." And then the father and the daughter, they hold hands as they walk. It's an intense white sun. And then Father says, "What is this launching?" And then it's she goes, "You know all about it." And then it's flashback city. Like, oh, the mystery is revealed. It gets ultra trippy. Because Picard, Bataille's talking to Picard. He says, all the clues unravel. Because Bataille's the one. He goes, "Don't you remember, a good old friend?" First, his daughter says, "You've already seen this thing, what they're launching." Picard says, "What do you mean?" And then Bataille says, "Don't you remember?" And Picard says, "Bataille, you look great. What's up?" And he goes, "Remember when the first time you saw it right before you got here? We hoped our probe would encounter someone in the future, someone who could be a teacher, someone who could tell others about us." So I assume Picard's either working on a seminar at some point or a book about these people behind the scenes. And then Elaine shows up. She says, "Yes, my love." And Picard says, "Elaine." She goes, "The rest of us have been gone for 1,000 years, but if you remember where we were, how we lived, we'll have life again." And then we watch the rocket. Picard says, "Elaine." And then the rocket shoots in the sky, and she goes, "Now we live in you. Tell them about us, baby." And let's see what else I have. Picard, oh, it's me. Oh, that's the other thing. He goes, "Oh, I'm the one that's supposed to talk about you. I'm the one it finds." And then that's when Elaine says, yes, my love. Picard's very old in this scene. Oh, whoa, I really liked that. Probe finds me. And then we're back in the ship. Picard stirs. Data says the beam was shut down. Picard wakes up. He's like, "What the heck?" And please, Catan. Is that what it says? "Please, Captain, don't." Because he tries to get up. And he goes, "What the heck, Captain?" And then he goes, "This is the Enterprise. I'm Jean-Luc Picard." It slowly dawns on him. And he goes, "How long?" He's all doing that in a whisper. And then Riker says, 20 to 25 minutes. And Picard says, 25 minutes. And then he kind of needs help to get up and go to the med bay. So Riker and Crusher help him. And he walks off with Riker, and then he looks back before he gets on the turbo lift. He has this huge smile as he realizes it was neither a dream nor reality. Kind of bolt. Then we're in the ship. We're in the captain's quarters. And Picard's looking at some giant sextant, digital, but also manual sextant. And he walks around looking at his relics, and then his doorbell rings, and Riker comes in amused, of course. He's got a rectangular box under his arm. And he goes, "You feeling better?" And Picard goes, "Yeah, but I'm having to rediscover my home." And Riker goes, "We got in the probe, but it deleted everything." He goes, "We found this inside." And he hands him the box, and he leaves. And inside it is the tasseled recorder or whatever. And Picard pulls it out, and he plays his, like, song that he's been playing throughout the episode. He plays it perfectly. And the episode comes to a conclusion. All right, I want to thank some people for iTunes reviews. Lazy Lizard from Canada, great podcast, help you fall asleep. I like the glass slipper. Sometimes I wish I could hear the end of the story, but I don't make it. Sometimes the intros wake me up, but otherwise, excellent podcast. Thank you, Lazy Lizard. Lee Huto from the USA says, "Brilliant, awesome show, one of my favorite podcasts." Thank you, Lee. Then HNSS1167. So this is a brain bot, but it says, "What?" One star. "His voice is too annoying if you're trying to fall asleep. Hard to understand, too. I'm confused to why this is so popular." And then a nice one comes in from BFS, P73 from the UK. "I suffered from insomnia for years. This works better than anything I've ever tried. Scoots' voice lulls you into a safe place and stops your mind from thinking about everything. So pleased I found this." And thanks for all the Australian and UK listeners that have written reviews in the last few weeks, you know, with the, this last harsh review is from the USA, but, you know, it really helps when someone, so I appreciate the reviews. Alyssa from Nash says, or Elisa probably, "Not a joke, except for my pronunciation names. Listen to this joke one night when I wasn't sleepy. I've never looked back. Not a joke. It calms my busy mind down. Scooter helps create a safe place for me to go to sleep. I also listen to it on an international flight, so I could nap. And as always, I didn't make it through the intro. Tell everyone I know about it." And then JMO999 from the UK. "Soothing, friendly tones from Scooter. I'm someone who only recently attempted to deal with her sleeping issues. I was convinced that therapy would work. Then I discovered this podcast and found a treasure trove. Scooter is the most relaxing, friendly, nondescript, creaky voice you could find. Stories are told with a level of fair bore." Oh, I get to look that one up. I like that word, fair bore. "That keeps you semi-engaged, but feel relaxed enough to drift off. Varied types of podcast episodes, but always the same low, comforting tones from our hosts. I've nodded off to this voice many times. Thank you." Jimmy Bimmy from the USA says, "Absolutely wonderful. I have a deep appreciation. His care comes from listeners pouring through. Along with his oddities and musings, his gentle humor, endless creativity, and sheer wonder over words and language are impressive and somehow lull me to sleep. Sometimes I wake up anxious in the morning and get caught in my thoughts, and I turn the podcast off and drift back to sleep. So grateful. Give it a few tries. His lovable weirdness may take some people a bit of adjusting to." Thanks. That makes sense. "More effective than pills. The Scooter's my best boyfriend I ever had. I tried listening for insomnia and anxiety. I've yet to stay awake for a whole episode. It took a time or two to get used to his soothing, creaky tones, but now it's a friendly sound. The sound of sleep coming to meet me. It's a nice change. Thank you." UK Sleep With Me fan. "Sleep within minutes. Love this podcast and fall asleep to it every night. I don't understand some of the negative reviews. I find the voice very soothing and I'm British. Thanks." Golgotha Tramp from the UK. "Dubious to start, but now I like it. Always struggled, used to watch TV, and, you know, the lights kept me up. I didn't want to sleep to my usual podcast, and this turned out to be perfect. First, it seems odd, you know, what is he talking about? But soon you realize the rambling is engaging enough to put away tomorrow's to-do list and whatever keeps you awake. Paired with a gentle voice, like in the 70s and 8 shift radio, helps soothe you down. Especially as a Brit, I find the American tones work well. Usually I'm drifting to sleep within 20 minutes. Would recommend to anybody." Thank you. Robin in Saxapa. So grateful this podcast. Podcast works, got me through some challenging times. Scooter's great. Just engaging enough to turn my mind off. Droning puts me in a, puts me to sleep before the intro's over. If you're in need of a safe, nurturing place, this is it. Suzettis. Never go to sleep without my boyfriend and his soothing tones. Very useful. Thank you. Stella Star from Ireland. Wonderful. Truly entertaining while remaining drowsy, comforting, and warm. The nicest way to fall asleep. Abby from Wales. Thank you. Thank you. Great for sleeping and relaxing. Found this podcast a couple of years ago. Extremely glad I did. Scooter's U.S. draw is certainly relaxing enough to put me to sleep, but sometimes the content, which I suppose is the purpose here. Aside from that, I do find the podcast very helpful overall. It's perfect if you need something to doze off to, and Abby can't miss his old intro music. Helps me wind down quickly. Maggie Mimsy, got an anxious mind that runs in circles. Can't fall asleep each night. For years, I drowned it out with the TV, but my quality of sleep wasn't great. Heard about this podcast a few times and another favorite one. I bet you it was MFM. And was not disappointed. I was able to turn out the lights and fall asleep within 15 minutes. So grateful. Thank you. And finally, Soapy in Nova Scotia says, Sleep With Me podcast. At first, I was skeptical. What the heck is this? But I tried another episode, and now I can't imagine going to sleep without Scoots in my ear. If you can't sleep, this podcast is for you. Weird and wonderful all in one. 2 years up. Thank you, Soapy. And thanks, everybody, for reviewing the show. If you want to review the show, just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/iTunes. Thanks and good night. All right, everybody. Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over. But it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I got to find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences is everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's four different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a postie special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. Ideally, down the road, we'll have budget to do more or somebody else even do a version two. But it's basically Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense, which that's pretty much it. That's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed is years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2024, is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're love sleeping me, you're looking for something a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville, Contact, TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think maybe this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with all intro and all night shows. So Thursday night, an all intro episode came out. The all night episode. I might have archived it. But Big Farm in the Sky PI. I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone. They don't have the sponsor stuff. They don't have the mystery bard music or the thank yous at the end. But they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday. That was Great British Bake Off episode 8. Multiplex episode 3 came out. Hickory Dickory Farms. Ren Fair with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243. 1242 Bake Off episode 7 came out. February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out. Julius J. Juice. What else we got? 1240 Apple Cider Redo. That was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode. Big retraction in that one. You know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform, is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans, and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Fair with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, then Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, Episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but The Guild, the web series of The Guild, did the part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on, I don't know, maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with 2 new ideas for random Tuesday episodes, one with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those were episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part 2 of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? We did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of got a lot of press, and we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening to this, a free feed, it'd be great. If you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do, and those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that, and that's it. Good night, everybody.